You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Don't give up, folks. We're going to be delivering a little bit of justice and honesty here on the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon. You can join us live across the Civic Media Radio Network every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. You can find the show also on YouTube. Just search for Civic Media. You can also watch it at Maggie Dawn Show on the Twit or X, whatever you like to call it, the Book of Faces, and of course, Instagram. Check us out there as well. And if you're in southeastern Wisconsin, pretty cool news. I think I had a slight slip of the memory. You can now find WAUK, the station that I come to you from, at 100.3 FM. We got a brand new FM signal out there across southeastern Wisconsin. You can, of course, continue to find me at WAUK at 540 AM. Really excited about that new FM signal. Folks, it is the 5 o'clock sound-off hour. This is where you get to talk about whatever you would like that is in the news. 855-752-4842. Want to start with some breaking news this afternoon. The Supreme Court today sounded extraordinarily skeptical about a Colorado law banning conversion therapy for gay and transgender minors, suggesting that the justices may scuttle the statute and similar restrictions in 30 states. Justice Alito said during oral arguments, it's like blatant viewpoint discrimination. Here is the thing. We do have viewpoint discrimination by the government when it comes to professional licensure, okay? The government issues professional licenses, my law license, medical doctor's license, and yes, psychotherapist license. And in doing so, those professional licensure boards require the folks that hold those licenses to maintain a certain level of conduct. It restricts certain kinds of speech. For example, lawyers can't get up in court and repeatedly lie to judges. And indeed, many of the MAGA lawyer set has found their law licenses suspended or disbarred permanently. Think Rudy Giuliani and many, many others. Similarly, a medical doctor can't tell their patients things that are false. They can't tell patients to take X, Y, and Z drug for just no reason at all. You can get a medical license removed or suspended for things like that. So too with psychotherapists. You can imagine the position of vulnerability a young person especially is put in with a therapist. And if a therapist isn't abiding by the prevailing professional standards, yeah, maybe they shouldn't be providing therapy to kids. This idea that the First Amendment is sacrosanct in all ways is not true. It's incredibly important. But listen, you don't have to be a psychotherapist. You don't have to do that if you don't like the way that your professional standards and licensures are handled. This is a deeply concerning case, in my opinion. I think this places an already vulnerable group of young people in harm's way if the Supreme Court decides that states do not get to determine, based on the prevailing best practices, peer-reviewed guidance, and good science, cannot decide the professional standards that apply in those states. This is dangerous territory, folks. What would you think if therapists tried to convince kids that they were gay or transgender because someone said that was their religious belief? I don't know, y'all. Seems a little scary to me. Let's go to these phones. We got people lighting them up here. We got Troy from Mount Horeb. You're up first, sir. What's got you sounding off this Tuesday afternoon?
We're not going to be able to dig our way out of all of this when we get some sane people back in government, are we?
The candid answer, Troy, and that's what we're trying to do here, is I think that the federal government has and will continue to experience one of the greatest periods of brain drain. Good faith civil servants and public servants who may have their own personal political beliefs, but have for their entire careers tried to show up and do an expert job, do it well, and do it in a completely nonpartisan way. If I was working in one of those federal agencies and had this kind of nonsense coming down on my head every day, I don't know that I'd want to work there anymore.
I wouldn't either. Real quick, though, that wasn't my question. Couldn't the Senate suspend the filibuster and then the shutdown?
Arguably, yes. I'm not sure that that is actually possible with a shutdown. I'm 90% sure it is. I'm sure Jamie, my senior producer, is furiously Googling right now. But yes, they could do so. I think Republican and Democratic senators have been rightly afraid of the nuclear option, which is what that is in the Senate, for this very reason. Remember, folks, the longest shutdown in history happened under Donald Trump 1.0, right? And Democrats, they came to the table, they negotiated in good faith, and there was a pathway forward. Again, you have to think about what happens when the other side's in control, and would you really want to do that? But Troy, I think your point is, listen, if Republicans really wanted to end it, they've gone nuclear and basically everything else, they could do right that here.
And I'd like the Democrats to start going out there and saying, you keep saying this is our shutdown, suspend the filibuster and end it.
Yeah.
Call
yeah,
their bluff. I mean, you keep blaming us. You know, stop blaming us. It's your fault. And here's another reason why it's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you, Troy. You know, at base, who's president? A MAGA. Who controls the Senate? MAGAs. Who controls the House? MAGAs. Who controls the Supreme Court? MAGAs. Tell me again whose fault it is. It's an interesting one. I'm sure my good friend CJ is going to disagree with me. Hey, CJ, how you doing? And what you got for us? What you sounding off on this Tuesday afternoon?
Good afternoon. Thanks for finally taking my call. You changed the subject a couple times, but yeah, it's easy.
CJ, okay, I'm going to say this one last time to you, and if you do not abide by this, I am never taking your call again. Please do not complain about when I take your call or how long you have to wait. Everybody has to wait. That's the deal. Please go ahead, sir.
Right. Well, I was hoping to talk to Mr. Cannoli because he wouldn't answer the question.
Okay. Thanks, CJ. Please, folks, let's talk about the stuff and not how I take callers. It's a waste of everyone's time, including yours. Charles from Milwaukee, welcome back to the show. Go ahead, sir. What you sounding off about this afternoon?
Hello, Maggie. Just the outright defiant, we're going to do whatever we want to do, not follow the Constitution. I thought the Republican Party was all about the Constitution. Barack Obama wouldn't have did this, first of all. He has better integrity, and he understands what it means to be a president. But could you imagine if Barack Obama would have tried any of this? I mean, the same people that are out here screaming, well, the president can do whatever he wants to do, they wouldn't have said that. And where are all of the don't tread on me people? They're awful quiet right now.
It's Charles, it is so bizarre. I have always thought the unitary executive theory, which is this very fringe theory that has now become mainstream, largely on the backs of the folks that can fund campaigns, that have always held the puppet strings of the Republican Party. The fact that you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene today saying, I can't even bear my own colleagues. They lied to us about the impact of the big brutal bill. These ACA subsidies should be restored or premiums are going to double. When you've got Republicans who have been hardcore MAGAs finally saying the truth, Charles, I think it points directly to the fact that you just have folks that are lying every day on national news programs, and they're lying to the American people every day. And it starts with the guy in the White House. And the idea that these same Republicans that don't tread on me, folks, that we've got to remember when they freaked out about all of Obama's executive orders? No problem right now. The hypocrisy is insane, and it's only enabled by by the lying, right? That's the through line. If they were honest about it, the hypocrisy and the ridiculousness of the position would be plain.
Yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Charles. Sorry.
And they lie more than I've never seen it. People that lie, and I don't know if part of it is because they're just really scared of his base, because there are things that are happening. Judges being threatened. I mean, it's so bizarre that we're living in a time today where this is very scary, because he is planning to just take over completely.
To your point, Charles, and I got to let you go because we got a bunch of folks stacked up here, 855-752-4842. It's an entire hour of sound off. Tell me what is on your mind. Yeah, everybody that I'm talking to basically thinks that Trump's invocation of the Insurrection Act is no longer a hypothetical. It's not an if, it's a but when. And that is literally, if you can lie about crime statistics, if you can lie and make up the basis for sending National Guard troops from Texas to Illinois or from California to Oregon or whatever the hell he's doing, you can lie about anything. You can lie about the basis to invoke the Insurrection Act. This is insanity. Insanity, and it is not good for any single one of us. We've got just over a minute left, folks. We got one slot on the caller line open, 855-752-4842. We're going to take care of a little bit of business and be right back. But if you, too, think that this is insane, like Charles and I do, like many of us here, folks that are of good faith, that want the best for America's democracy, conservatives, liberals, Democrats, Republicans alike, join me and so many others on October 18th for the No Kings protests. You can find out more about those protests in your neck of the woods at nokings.org. That's nokings.org. I will be emceeing the downtown Milwaukee No Kings protest, brought to you from Cathedral Square on October 18th. So check me out there. Folks, get in on this action right now. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Wanted to get in one last caller before we got to take care of a couple messages. Jeannie from Eau Claire, what's got you sounding off this Tuesday?
Oh, a lot of things, but I'll stick to one or maybe two. But I have to say that this is insanity. And all that comes out of their mouth is lies. And Ron Johnson is one of the biggest liars. I dang near died when I watched his interview. You know, how they were coming after him. I thought, you should be investigated and you should have been locked up. What he did with the false
electors. The fake electors. He knew they were fake. He knew it was a fraud. He knew it was being used as a smokescreen to foment an insurrection, and he did it anyways. In any other functional democracy, those senators, those congressmen that passed along those faked electors, this fraud that helped to suborn an insurrection, would have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Folks, get your calls lined up. We're going straight to the phones when I come back after sneaking in a quick little few messages here. Don't go anywhere. You get to sound off today for the rest of the show right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is your opportunity to sound off. What is on the top of your mind? What's bugging you? What's in the news that's got you worried? I can tell you somebody was sounding off today, Marjorie Taylor Greene, indicating that she is breaking with Republicans, calling their opposition to Democrats' demand to restore the ACA subsidies to avoid an American healthcare Armageddon. She is siding with Democrats. She said this on X, I'm going to go against everyone on this issue because when the tax credits expire this year, my own adult children's insurance premiums for 2026 are going to double, along with all the wonderful families and hardworking people in my district. Dear Republicans and MAGAs, maybe you should actually try to figure out the facts and stop listening to the Pinocchio House Speaker Mike Johnson or liar-in-chief Donald Trump. Let's go right to the phones. We got some very patient people here with us. Mark from Prairie du Sac, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much. I see where a judge awarded standing to two people over how Wisconsin votes, how people get to register to vote, and I kind of why they would have standing, to do that kind of thing. Because my guess is if I sued the Wisconsin Republicans that participated in the fake elector scheme conspiracy, that I wouldn't be granted standing because they violated my 14th Amendment rights doing this, including Ron Johnson, who now. What does the man expect? He was caught red-handed doing this stuff. He's objecting to have been investigated. I mean, that he committed the crime. It was only begrudgingly that he actually certified that election. I mean, the man. You mean that? So I guess how did they find standing in the case in Waukesha County where he said, "Well, these people can decide. You have to have proof of citizenship now to register to vote or to vote here in Wisconsin each and every time probably." And how did they find standing in that? Whereas it seems dubious at best to me that they would have standing. And I don't know who the law firm was. I imagine it was Wisconsin Law and Institute for Law and Liberty that they was doing the legal work for them. But these people got dredged up from someplace to do this. And how did the judge find standing for them to bring this case?
Mark, I've got to actually go back and look at the record in that case because I don't want to get it wrong. In these, what I'm going to call democracy process cases, standing is very, very peculiar and particular. And the Supreme Court especially has been quite suspicious of standing, especially in a lot of the federal election cases. So let me get back to you on that, Mark. I love questions like this, folks. You too can give me a homework assignment, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ali from the Northwoods, what you got for us this afternoon? What do you want to sound off on?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much that could be sounded off on. First, make sure everybody gets to those protests if they are capable of doing so. If not, call, write, do whatever you can. My protest for this week is the new con coin that they've put Trump's face on, a new coin that they hope to print out, the $1 coin, and I just think it's appalling to think that we would have a coin with a president who was an insurrectionist.
It's a lot. These commemorative coins, it's not going to be in general circulation. This is not the worst thing. The outright grift and fraud and corruption, right? The Donald Trump meme coin, the Melania Trump meme coin, the Donald Trump stable coin that's being used to bridge finance this massive multi-billion-dollar transaction in the Middle East. Meanwhile, assigning his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to now help with the Gaza peace process and to talk with all these Middle Eastern countries. Oh, yeah, one of which, that's Saudi Arabia. It's Sovereign Wealth Fund giving Jared Kushner some $20 billion. Yeah, I said $20 billion, of which he pulls down an annual fee of somewhere north of 15% to 20% for just managing the money, a thing that he has absolutely no experience doing at all whatsoever. That's not a problem. The Trump coin is offensive and bad, but it is the least of our problems in this moment, folks. Don't take your eye off the ball. The corruption is out there. It is absolutely terrible. Let's at least get one more call in here. We got a newish caller, Brett from Brown Deer. What's up, Brett? What you got for us?
Hi, Maggie. Hey, what's got me concerned is what we're missing. Why does this government shutdown help the Republicans? Because Senator Thune can call a procedural vote to bypass the filibuster for one continuing resolution. But they refuse. They know that. What advantage can they use this government shutdown on us?
Brett, I have to be really clear here. I think the entire reason that they're doing this is, one, they think Democrats will cave, but more, because they have always wanted to have a shutdown as an excuse to illegally fire thousands of federal workers and to engage in loyalty purges out of our most critical federal agencies that ensure that regular people like me and you have clean water, clean air, and that our small businesses can compete on equal and fair footing, you know, like capitalists might support. This episode of Sound Off here on the Maggie Dawn Show continues on the other side. Join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Phone and text lines are open. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Tuesday edition of Sound Off right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. We do Sound Off. You can call me up. You can text me about just about anything that you'd like to talk about in the news, from pop culture to sports to politics. Of course, we take all callers, except for CJ today, because all he wants to talk about is how long he was on the phone waiting for me to take his call, which... who cares? Anyways, I want to share with you all some of the sound of our esteemed, deeply respectful Attorney General Pam Bondi, who understands deeply, almost on a cellular level, that you need to keep partisanship and politics out of justice work, that our justice system, that our prosecutorial powers in this country should never, ever, ever be co-opted by presidents or governors or mayors to go after their political enemies. Because if that is okay, then we are on a very slippery slope to authoritarianism and the demise of our democracy. And today, shockingly, our Attorney General Pam Bondi stood up and said, the DOJ will no longer be weaponized under Donald Trump. Actually, folks, none of that at all happened. She was as sycophantish as ever, refusing to answer basically any question from any Democratic senator. Literally. And then getting ticked off that they even dared answer her question, which, by the way, is what these hearings are for. And yes, they can be contentious, but you do have an obligation to at least try to respond and, oh yeah, be a little respectful for these people that actually won elected office as opposed to Pam Bondi getting appointed. I wanted to start with Senator Richard Blumenthal asking Pam Bondi about some of her conflicts of interest. Now, what's really important here is the manner in which Senator Blumenthal phrases this question, okay? He doesn't accuse her of corruption. He asks her to explain, and she loses her mind, and by the way, doesn't explain a damn thing. Take a listen.
What conversation did you have with Mr. Ballard?
Senator Blumenthal, I cannot believe that you would accuse me of impropriety when you lied about your military service.
I am not asking you to be elected a U.S. senator. You lied. How dare you?
I'm a career prosecutor. Don't you ever challenge my integrity. I have abided by every ethics standard. Do not question my ability to be fair and impartial as Attorney General, and anything with my former firm, Ballard Partners.
Thank you.
Wow. To be clear, engaging in personal attacks when a senator is asking you very specific questions about meaningful potential conflicts of interest, it is not acceptable to do that. She doesn't respond to the question at all. It's absolutely disgusting behavior. We deserve so much better from an attorney general. And by the way, she was a registered lobbyist for Ballard Partners and represented foreign governments. It's... that'll take a whole show for me to explain. go ahead and take a look at the news that's out there about her relationships with these various foreign governments, you know, that maybe she should be very clear about what they were. Again, Pam Bondi not answering a damn question. Let's move on to the Attorney General being asked a few questions about bagman Tom Homan and that $50,000 in cash that he received from FBI agents that he has never responded to or debated whether that or even questioned or said, no, that didn't happen. So the guy took a bag full of $50,000 in cash, apparently in exchange for directing contracts to made-up firms. Here's Senator Hirono asking Pam Bondi about the Homan investigation. Cut 8.
Do you approve closing the Homan investigation, bribery investigation?
Just get rid of that.
Senator Hirono, as I stated earlier, the Department of Justice and the FBI conducted a thorough review and they found no credible evidence of any wrongdoing. You were also on video outside the White House protesting with a group called CASA where Antifa members were. Does that mean you're a member of Antifa?
You know, I simply asked the question as to whether or not you approve the shutting down of the investigation, Mr. Homan. I have to assume that you did because the FBI reports to you. But the American people would look at the situation where this person is taking a $50,000 in cash, no less, and you testified today that a thorough investigation was done. Now, I have to assume, I conclude that since no wrongdoing was determined, that in answer to Senator Whitehouse's question, he kept the money. He kept the money, and I hope that he put that on his tax returns as income.
Notice the theme here. Senator Blumenthal asks her a very legitimate question based on current news reporting about potential involvement that would indicate a conflict of interest related to her former lobbying for Ballard Partners and the closure of an antitrust case. She then attacks Blumenthal. Hirono asks her a very legitimate question that should be easy to answer. Did you shut down the investigation of Tom Homan for taking a bag of $50,000 in cash from FBI agents? And what does she do? Accuses Senator Hirono of being an Antifa. Okay, Pam. Okay. And then this exchange again with Senator Whitehouse and trying to find out if Homan actually kept the $50,000. Take a look at this.
Senator, as Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche recently stated, the investigation of Mr. Homan was subjected to a full review by the FBI, agents, and DOJ prosecutors. They found no credible evidence of any wrongdoing.
And that was not my question. My question was, what became of the $50,000 in cash that the FBI delivered, evidently in a paper bag, to Mr. Homan?
Senator, I'd look at your facts.
What?
Are you saying that they did not deliver $50,000 in cash to Mr. Homan?
Senator, as recently stated, the investigation of Mr. Homan was subjected to a full review by the FBI agents, Department of Justice prosecutors. They found no evidence of wrongdoing.
That's a different question. What became of the $50,000? Did the FBI get it back?
Mr. Whitehouse, excuse me, Senator Whitehouse, you're welcome to talk to the FBI.
The report to you. Can't you answer this question?
Senator Whitehouse, you're welcome to discuss this with Director Patel.
Did Homan keep the $50,000?
As Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche recently stated, the investigation
Never mind.
Of Mr. Homan
Never mind. I can see I'm not going to get a straight answer from you to a very simple
by the
question.
By FBI agents and the DOJ.
They found
no credible evidence of wrongdoing. You know, you're very concerned about money and people taking money and
you rail against dark money.
You work with dark money groups all the time, Senator Whitehouse.
Anybody catching the theme here? These are perfectly legitimate questions. She has no answers. And instead attacks the senators asking her those questions. It is shameful, and it is unacceptable from an attorney general of the United States of America. She was also asked about the legal precedent for shooting down alleged drug cartel members as if they were engaged in acts of war. By the way, we have had experts on the show that say they are not, clearly not, in an active military aggression campaign against the United States, and that it is a violation of international laws to have dropped U.S. missiles on these boats in the water. And Senator Coons asked our attorney general about it. Take a listen to this.
The government's asserting the authority to summarily kill people. It says our cartel members through military strikes against boats on the open ocean in the Caribbean. Congress has never authorized such a use of military force, and it's unclear to me how the administration has concluded that these strikes are legal. I'm concerned with what the limiting principle is, whether the government could summarily kill people. It just declares our cartel members, as well as unlawful combatants inside the United States, or if they were American citizens. This isn't about defending cartels, and these aren't hypothetical questions. President Trump assembled military leaders and said they would be needed to fight the enemy from within and to train in cities in the United States that he describes as chaotic and violent. Due process is the cornerstone of our Constitution. I'm deeply concerned about the authority our president seems to be asserting to summarily kill people suspected of criminal activity outside the law. As the chief lawyer for our federal government, you have a unique responsibility to ensure maintenance of our constitutional standards. How did you conclude that these strikes on ships or boats in the open ocean are legal?
Senator Coons, I'm not going to discuss any legal advice that my department may or may not have given or issued at the direction of the president on this matter. Regarding Venezuela, what I can tell you is Maduro is a narco-terrorist.
The job that I held for Milwaukee County was nowhere close to being the Attorney General of the United States. But I have advised politicians and elected officials that have opposing interests who thought very differently about public policy. And what I can say very clearly to all of you is that I was never afraid to explain my legal reasoning to the people who I represented, all elected officials, because I worked for the government entity as a whole and not any single individual elected official. Again, Pam Bondi can't answer very basic questions that are essential to the rule of law in this country, which she has sworn an oath to uphold. And every single time she's asked, what does she do? She deflects. And it got worse. Do we have time to start with any of the Epstein sound, Jacob, before we got to sneak in a few messages here? I think we might. Okay, let's have a collective memory refresher, right, of what Pam Bondi told us she had sitting on her desk waiting for release to the American public. Take a listen to this.
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
Folks, that was on February 21st of this year when asked by a Fox anchor, where are the Epstein files in the client list? Yeah, it's on my desk, right along with all these other files. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be releasing that. We're going to, on the other side, when we come back, we're going to listen to what the Attorney General's position is now about those things and her complete inability to answer even the most basic questions about how she's executing her job functions, supposedly on behalf of the entire American public. This discussion continues on the other side. You got to sound off, 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about blame shifter Bondi. It ain't nobody's responsibility, especially not hers. I'll just blame everybody else for all the things that are going wrong and my inability to answer a single question of substance at all. And the cherry on top of the Bam Bondi poo Sunday today before the Senate Judiciary Committee was the manner in which she answered really basic questions about Jeffrey Epstein and the Epstein file, which back in February she said she was sitting on her desk and reviewing it and they would release it. Then, of course, they had the big to-do about releasing the binders. That was on February 27th. There was nothing new in them. Then in March, she told Fox Business that she's got agents working around the clock in 12 overnight shifts to get more info ready for release by May. She said the FBI was reviewing tens of thousands of videos of the wealthy financier with children or child porn, okay? That was in May. Remember, by July, her and Cash Patel were like, it's a nothing burger, don't worry about it. Again, Pam Bondi in May, tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child porn. Now let's listen, Jacob, this is going to be cut five. Let's listen to her being specifically asked that question today about the President of the United States. And there is no denial, folks. Listen to this.
Let me ask you something else. There's been public reporting that Jeffrey Epstein showed people photos of President Trump with half-naked young women. Do you know if the FBI found those photographs in their search of Jeffrey Epstein's safe or premises or otherwise? Have you seen any such thing?
You know, Senator Whitehouse, you sit here and make salacious remarks, once again trying to slander President Trump left and right, when you're the one who was taking money from one of Epstein's closest confidants, I believe, I could be wrong, correct me, Reid Hoffman, who was with Jeffrey Epstein on multiple occasions. And the senator sitting
so
right next
president.
To you tried to block the flight logs from being released. Yet you're grilling me on President Trump and some photograph with Epstein? Come on.
The question is, did the FBI find those photographs that have been discussed publicly by a witness who claimed Jeffrey Epstein showed them to him? You don't know anything about that. Okay.
It's a pretty basic question. Have you seen photographs of the President of the United States with a convicted child sex trafficker with young women in various states of undress? Has the FBI ever had possession of these? And she can't answer the question. Ellen from Cedarburg, thank you for your patience, ma'am. What do you got for us this afternoon? Ellen, are you there? Hi, Ellen. Oh, too bad, Ellen. Try next time. Cam from Appleton, you're up. What do you want to sound off on?
Hey, I am just kind of livid hearing, like, neighbors and stuff on Nextdoor. They are excusing a lot of the pedophilia by finger pointing to, I bet you wouldn't say the same about Bill Clinton. And it's like, you see my profile picture, you know that I'm a younger guy. When have you ever known anyone that is a millennial to have ever cared what happens to Bill Clinton? None of us remember him. No one cares. If he's a pedophile, take him away too. I don't care. The other thing is Minnesota, there were some investigations done on the voting systems in Minnesota, and there is a lot of concerning information out of there where there are precincts that were hand-counting votes, and they do not show signs of manipulation where all the ones that used electronic voting do.
Yeah, we're taking a look at some of that information, Cam. I just want to return very briefly to the fact that the Attorney General of the United States of America, who promised in February of this year that the Epstein file was on her desk and going to be released, who promised a week later that they were going to look into more documents after the first binder release was a dud, who said in March that they've got FBI agents working around the clock in 12-hour shifts to release this information to the American people, who insisted in May that the FBI was reviewing tens of thousands of videos of the wealthy financier Epstein with children or child porn, who again promised over and over and over again, was asked today, have you seen a video or a photograph of Donald Trump, our president, with young women or girls that you obtained from any seizures from Jeffrey Epstein's property or records? And the woman didn't answer the question. Why not? Keith from DeForest, you'll get the last word today. What do you want to sound off on?
Hi, Maggie. Hey, I just wanted to, you know, hit that point you just said again. She had the opportunity there to say that, hey, no, I certainly didn't see any photos like that, and I'm not aware of any, and neither is the FBI. But she chose not to. And she's a lawyer, right? So are you. That sounds to me like she doesn't want to perjure herself before Congress.
Heath? That is exactly right. Ask yourself why the Attorney General of the United States of America can't answer questions about allegations of corruption and her work for Ballard Partners. Why she can't answer questions about Tom Homan's sack of cash, $50,000. Why she can't answer questions about the legal authorization to shoot down people in a boat with military weapons. Why she cannot answer the question, are there photographs seized from Jeffrey Epstein of this president with young women or girls in various states of undress? If you're worried about perjury, folks, the only tactic you've got is to deflect and to not answer the questions. That's going to do it for me, everybody. Tune in tomorrow. We dig in to the Democratic pipeline of candidates here in Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Pete Schwabba is up next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.